conservative,
Christian, mother, wife,
Air Force veteran,
gun rights advocate.
This is Stacey on the Right. Here's your host, Stacey Washington.
Welcoming back to our fantastic program here on SiriusXM, Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, retired. She is the spokesperson for the National Police Association. The website is nationalpolice.org, nationalpolice.org. Sergeant Betsy, thanks for joining in.
Hey, good evening. I hope you had a great holiday. It's great to hear you back.
Yes, it's great to see you and hear you here as well. I know that we have some really important subjects to get into, but I just would like to say I hope you had a great holiday and a little bit of time off.
A little bit. Yeah, it was fun.
I love it. All right.
That's remember, code. My husband does all the cooking. So
I know.
It was a great holiday.
You know what? I bet it was. And, you know, the arrangements that we make in our marriages, each marriage is its own universe. So I love the way your universe sounds. Sounds fantastic. I love it. I don't judge because I'm not in that universe. I'm just an outsider looking in, thinking it sounds awesome. So let's talk about this. We've had recent shootings. And this is our new normal here. As long as America doesn't want to, en masse, on the whole, on the main, acknowledge that culturally we have a lot of rot going on. Culturally, we don't value families. We disrespect men and fathers. We don't put things in their proper working order. We don't respect fully functioning two-parent households that honor a religious foundation and really harken back to just a very traditional ethos. Those households don't have mass shooters coming out of them. And there's an intersection between these psychotropic medications that so many of these youngsters are prescribed. And then lastly, there's just an amazing amount of ignorance surrounding how it's not about the gun or the tool and how it has everything to do with all of the warnings that these people, before they go on these rampages, they shoot off these warning flares. And everyone around them is just, I don't know, you know, singing... I don't know what songs would they sing. Would it be rap? Would it be something from the cartoon era? I don't know what they're doing with their minds, but they're not paying attention. So there's a lot more to this than just, oh, no, we've had some recent shootings, and then let's talk about guns. I'm so sick of watching that on the cable news.
Well, and remember, Larry Krasner, the DA in Philadelphia, is blaming the shootings on Republicans wearing AR-15 pins on their lapels. So, you know, he's just not a serious person, but in fact, he had the gall after their last big mass shooting in Philadelphia committed by possibly a transgender person. That story kind of all went away, and they're telling us it's a man, but he has taken pictures of himself dressed as a woman wearing a bra and women's clothing. But anyway, Krasner believes that it's the AR-15 lapel pins and that there are not enough gun laws to prevent these kinds of shooting. And yet this is the man who continues to talk about we've got to get people out of prison. He actually ran against sentencing people to prison. He ran against arresting people and charging them for gun crimes. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, you know, and you're absolutely right. When you talk about a cartoon character, that's exactly what he is. He makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And this is why people have got to pay attention to these local prosecutor races.
Yeah. And to take it seriously, because these people, you mentioned, I actually encountered this in a conversation recently about gun control with an extraordinarily intelligent person, someone who I would say, you know, do you have a problem with maybe a child or interpersonal problem or do you have a, you know, financial problem? Any of those things, almost any subject at all, you could go to this person, tell them about your problem, and they would give you some very wise counsel, a brilliant individual. In the workspaces and in the private life, exemplary life lived. You know, this is just someone who is logical. But on gun control, I literally said, well, how would there be any difference if you add an additional gun law when the criminals are already disobeying all of the current gun laws? But we still need more, because if we don't do something, they're going to continue to do what they're going to do. And I said, well, they're going to continue to do what they're going to do, whether we do something or not. That's the point. Well, then how do you stop it? We have to focus on the fundamentals. And that's where you lose these people. They're so smart, so intelligent on everything else. But when it comes to gun control policy, there's just there's no reasoning with these people.
Well, and here's the thing. If you continue to blame the gun, you really don't have to take any responsibility other than saying, let's get rid of the gun. You know, we heard Joe Biden, again, denounce, quote unquote, assault weapons. Same thing with the vice president. You know, she was down here in Arizona a few days ago and tweeting out and talking about banning assault weapons. But what they won't do is help local law enforcement in any really meaningful way deal with the gun problems that we already have on the street. If Joe Biden and his Department of Justice were serious about helping the inner cities with all these shootings that we keep talking about, they would flood our streets with federal agents, and they would bring with those federal agents federal prosecutors that could bypass local woke DAs who will not prosecute gun crimes, and they could charge people with federal gun crimes, but they won't do that. So they're not serious about it either. And I don't know why people aren't more frustrated, other than I really believe that a lot of people, especially in urban areas, just aren't really well informed about what their political leadership is really doing or actually not doing to help them. I mean, look at Baltimore. You know, that is a no one has denounced the lack of cooperation by the citizens in the Baltimore shooting. And we had 900 to 1,000 witnesses to this shooting, mostly young people under the age of 21. No one has talked about parenting. No one has denounced that. No one has denounced, again, the lack of cooperation with law enforcement. And you know what they're doing, Stacey, in that shooting investigation? You know who else they're investigating? They're investigating the Baltimore Police Department because they were unaware of this block party, because they only had 7 police officers in a large area where they should have had about 40. So let's investigate the cops. Let's blame the cops. You know, who are a part of the very police department that has been vilified for 3 years, that was defunded, and they think that's going to help. And yet nobody will denounce these ridiculous responses to very, very serious crimes.
Yeah, so first of all, so there was a block party. If nobody called it in, how would the cops know? The cops don't have 100% surveillance capability. This isn't one of those cool cop shows like SWAT. I don't know if you've ever seen that show. But on that show, they show the police. And they're in their command center. It's so gloriously technologically advanced. And they stand in a room where it looks like the floor is glass, the walls are glass, and the ceilings are glass. There's screens everywhere. And they have a command control console in the middle of the room where he can walk over and he can punch a couple of buttons on the touch screen and a neighborhood will pan up on the screen. And then he can throw it up on the wall and they can watch in real time as crimes are going on in these neighborhoods. I'm like, wow, is that supposed to be Los Angeles? Because last I checked, they have a really serious homeless problem, lots of crime. And I know they don't have technology centers like that. I know they don't, because their police have been defunded. So this is a television show that they actually show on TV. And I can't imagine anybody thinks that that is a real scenario that our police are exposed to. Our police are just trying to make sure they have operational control over like the simple things, like having their shop, their vehicle work well. Like our police need so much more funding and so much more like everything. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know who has a command and control room like that? The White House. And we can't figure out who brought in a bag of cocaine.
So it doesn't matter how much technology you have if you're not willing to actually use it. It's irrelevant, isn't it?
Exactly. And that's the thing with this Baltimore shooting. You know, what is so sad about it, they've only made one arrest. And he was kind of a fringe player, as a 17-year-old kid who was seen on a surveillance camera pulling out, in fact, actually, he was seen on cell phone camera pulling out a gun out of his backpack, and somebody was able to identify him, but he's not the main shooter. And, you know, But the police who did respond, again, they had seven available police officers instead of having the 40 that they should have. Why? Because they're running call to call to call because they are so incredibly shorthanded. We have 32,000 different street gangs in this country. So many of these shootings are gang related. Almost all of them, of course, in my native Chicago are, but certainly in Philly, a lot of times in New York, definitely in Baltimore, definitely in LA. We're not addressing that at all. And again, the federal law enforcement and federal law makes it easier to deal with gang activity on a federal level. And, you know, we really encourage the DOJ and the Biden administration to start stepping it up and helping local law enforcement that they've helped to vilify for the last 3 years.
Yeah, which is that's the issue, isn't it? It's like, well, everybody's ripping them. They're ripping them a new one, but then they're also like, why aren't you doing a better job? The cops have to be sitting up by themselves when they're alone going, yeah, so why aren't we doing a better job? I don't know, because we're horrible people, you know, because that's what they're saying. These are horrible people, but you should be doing a better job. Horrible people don't do a better job. Like, that's one of the things that make them horrible people. So which is it?
And there's your confusion, you know, and it just does. It makes no logical sense. We've ceased being able to apply, and you said it earlier, a logic, any kind of logic to any of these situations. Again, to have a district attorney say, I can't put people in jail when they just possess a gun. And then out of the other side of his mouth say, we've got to do something about all these guns. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? And the American people are being played. I just hope more and more people are waking up to it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, come on. Just think of it. So how do you motivate people to do a better job or to continue to do a good job or to do their jobs, period? Do you go around saying how horrible they are? Do you tell them that you're not going to pay them as much? You're going to pay them less? You're going to basically make sure they have no money to do their job? Do you tell them, you know, no one should want to do your job? The people who already do your job are the worst in the country. You're all a pack of, you know, bald racists. I mean, name calling, degradation. And then if anything happens to these people that you want to motivate, well, that's what you get because you're full of racists, you know, because police are being gunned down across the country. I see the post that you send out through your organization when we lose an officer. You send up the flare and let everybody know that an officer has been lost. And, you know, there used to be universal sympathy for that. And now it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, another day. The police are killing black people every day anyway, which is another lie from the pit of hell. It's just not true that the police are killing black people every day. It's not true at all. Not even close to true.
No, it's an absolute lie. But they keep talking about it. The activists continue to talk about it. Some of our politicians continue to talk about it. And they create this fear of the American law enforcement officer. And now we're seeing it manifested in Baltimore, where people are people in that neighborhood are very mad about the shooting. Of course, it's a horrible thing, but they are not cooperating with the police. And we are truly, and we've been saying this for years, but it's really starting to happen. We're going to end up with the purge. You know, in other words, we're going to end up with people are just going to stop cooperating with law enforcement and they're going to take care of situations themselves. And this is just going to lead to more and more gang warfare, you know, because these gang shootings just stack up and there's retaliation and more retaliation and more retaliation. And yet we let street gangs proliferate in this country. And then, of course, down here on the southern border, you have the cartels, which make our American street gangs look like child's play. And the cartels have infiltrated all of the United States. And continue to be vicious. They continue to be well-armed. And, of course, they continue to bring drugs throughout this country. And we do nothing other than continue to decriminalize drug use, allow homeless people, drugged out homeless people to we've kind of made them into super citizens almost. No, you don't have to follow the law. No, you don't have to get drug treatment. No, you're not going to go to jail. Y'all just do whatever you want, do your drugs, and, you know, slump around the streets of San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, L.A., New York, Chicago, on and on and on. And, again, I just wonder what the breaking point will be for the American people.
Well,
and
we've
the people
seen
that
some
are fleeing the cities are fleeing. They're leaving.
Yeah. Well, they are. Huge migrations. I saw an article about that this morning. Millions of people moving around the country, and the divide is going along political lines. Lefties are moving to lefty cities, mm-hmm. and people on the right are just dive bombing out of the left cities and going into areas that are controlled by Republicans because they're looking for, you know, people are looking for very specific things. But you know what, Betsy? I saw another story out of Chicago where they have had 55 incidences of private citizens using their lawfully carried personal firearms in public to thwart crime. 55.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad thing. I'm not calling that out because I think it's bad, but that's a huge number. I mean, I know Chicago's a huge city. It's big. They have a lot of shootings there, but that means people in Chicago have realized that it's on them. They're no longer seeing the police as their first line of defense when the possibility of a robbery going down. They're thinking, I got to defend myself.
Well, and what makes that statistic more extraordinary is Illinois did not get citizen carry until about 2013. You could never, the entire 29 years I was an Illinois cop, citizens could not carry a firearm like they could in most other states. So in 2013, we got citizen carry, and people in Illinois took it. A lot of my friends take it very seriously. And you know what? The state made it very difficult and continues to make it difficult for people to get that concealed carry permit. You know, you've got to go through almost as much training as a law enforcement officer to get that concealed carry permit. But the citizens of Illinois, and especially in Chicago and the Chicago suburbs, they take it very seriously, and it's starting to work for them. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that, especially in the city and in the suburbs, because again, once somebody pulls a gun on you, it's too late to call 911. It's too late to hope that a patrol car is driving by. You're going to have to take care of it yourself. And that's what people are doing. And I'll tell you, I'm very proud of people in Illinois for stepping up and taking control of their own safety. You know, the National Police Association, we are the most pro-Second Amendment, pro-citizen carry police organization in this country. And that makes us proud to hear that people are stepping up and taking care of themselves.
Yeah, I actually thought it was a good thing. And I was reading through the article and it didn't catalog all of the different incidents. It just covered a couple of them. But you know, these were obvious cases of armed robberies where the people who used their firearms, you know, it was like obviously a clean shoot. But, you know, I feel good about it. I think that's great that they're taking their personal safety seriously and they're trained and they have their firearms and they're lawfully carrying. But it does kind of hurt my heart a little bit when I think about how, you know, police officers want to be there. They want to help. They, you know, but they just can't. They're spread so thin, they just can't. So I want to see us get back to some semblance of normalcy. In this country, we have always relied on the police to respond when we dial 911. And we should be prepared to defend ourselves, but we should also be able to rely on our police. I'd like to have both.
Well, yeah, and your cops want people to rely on us. You know, that was the whole reason at age 21 that I became a police officer was because I wanted to help my community, and that never wavered. And that is one of the best things about being a cop, is that you do get to have a real-time effect on someone's safety, on something positive in somebody's life, you know, helping a crime victim and stopping a crime in progress and putting a bad guy in jail. You know, that just makes the job so much worth it. And if anybody is listening to this who is thinking, you know, gosh, I always said I wanted to be a police officer, but they get such a bad rep. Do it. It is. I never had the same day twice in 29 years. And to be able to have that kind of effect on your community and your fellow citizen, there's nothing like it.
Yep. Do it, because you're not going to regret it. I've never met a police officer who said, oh, you know what? I regret becoming a police officer. Everyone that I meet is like so gung-ho and positive, such a positive outlook, so strong. Even the older retired ones who, you know, you're getting old, your body is not your best friend anymore, but they hearken back to those days when they were on the force, when they drove their own vehicle, or when they were investigating, or when they were a beat cop walking the streets. They hearken back to that, and they have so many great stories to tell. It's an adventure. It's the same with people who join the military. I've never met someone who was in the military who's like, oh, I can't believe I was in the military and I regret that. Never met anybody who said that ever. Never, ever. So,
no.
Yeah.
Same here. It's a mission. You know, that sense of mission is so amazing.
Oh, Sergeant Betsy, thank you for coming on and for having this very important conversation with us. And I know, We did cover the shootings. Can we just really quickly, we talked about the Philadelphia shooting, but this was the nation's worst violence around July the 4th. I know there was another shooting. You mentioned that as well. This was the worst July the 4th we've ever had, or is that just a little bit of hyperbole?
No, actually, this really wasn't the worst July 4th that we've had. In 2015, we had 107 people killed just over the three-day weekend. You know, and remember, our July 4th this weekend, if you will, 2023, was like 6 days, really.
it was.
It was kind of great, you know.
It was.
But you know, so actually it was not even close to being the most violent. In 2020, if people remember, so that was a month after the riots, 87 people in Chicago alone were shot from Friday night until Sunday night. So, no, this wasn't the most violent 4th of July. But these you know, multiple mass shootings that we had in not just Baltimore and Philly, but there was one in Louisiana, there was one in Fort Worth, Texas. They shocked the conscience a little bit. And of course, a year ago, we had the Highland Park, Illinois parade massacre, and a lot of people were really thinking about that this weekend. But it wasn't the most violent. But again, we're talking about these shootings on a daily basis, and all we're doing is politicizing them. We're not reaching for solutions. We need to go back to the 90s. And do what we did then. We know what to do about this. We've got to do it.
Yep. We have solved big problems before. That's one thing we can hang out our banners on, that, you know, the little banner that kind of used to roll across on commercials way back in the day when we all watched the same TV channels and we all had the same commercials. And they would roll out a little banner across something that was really great. That's our thing. Like, as Americans, I think we forget. We've solved huge problems in the past. We have totally done that again
huge
and again and again.
Problems.
Huge,
yes.
Huge.
Yeah, we're good at it. And we have the structure, you know, we have the justice system, we have the people, and I believe we have the intestinal fortitude. You know, we just got to do it. We got to get it done.
Yep. And the sooner we get to getting, the sooner we can have some of those things that I was describing before, where, you know, obviously I am a huge supporter of individual liberty and people protecting themselves, but I also am a huge supporter of our law enforcement community. And I believe that we need to get them back to their previously robust condition and, you know, stop the madness. That the only way that happens is with organizations like yours, the National Police Association. I suggest everyone follow on Twitter. It's so great to have you here again tonight. Nationalpolice.org. Thank you so much, Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith.
Thanks for having me, Stacey. Always good to talk to you.
All right, have a great night. We'll be back with more Stacey on the Right after this, 866-957-2874.